I've got a question for you. Is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? And if polygamy was in the Bible, what's so bad about having it today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I know. We ask all kinds of interesting questions here on The Line of Fire. And you might say, oh, come on, this one's really out in left field. Why in the world are we going to talk about that today? Because, number one, it's not so far out in left field anymore. And number two, even within the church, to my shock, yeah, some things shock me. To my shock, in the last, 5 years in particular, I've been getting emails from pastors and friends saying, hey, I've got somebody in my church that says there's nothing wrong with polygamy biblically, and why shouldn't we practice it today? So we're actually going to talk about this, and I think we're going to stir you to work through some issues that you might not have worked through before. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Two separate but related questions. Number one, is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? If there is a slippery slope where things get worse in terms of society, which is worse, polygamy or same-sex marriage? And since polygamy is in the Bible and is not explicitly condemned, people would argue, in the Bible, why should we be so opposed to it today? 866-34-TRUTH. Online, you can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, where I've posted these very questions. Now, before I get into this, and I'll play a clip from Bill O'Reilly's show from just a few days ago. Before I get into this, I want to mention something I talked about in the second hour. So many of you didn't get to hear it on your radios last week or earlier this week. I talked about it in the second hour. I was so grieved by it. I want to talk about it again. Wednesdays, you remember, we focus on moral and cultural issues here on The Line of Fire. There was an ad published by the National Post in Ontario, and I was really pleased to see it. There's a little girl, and it says, "Please don't confuse me." Now, I mean, looking at this picture, the girl's maybe 4 or 5 years old. "I'm a girl. Don't teach me to question if I'm a boy, transsexual, transgendered, intersexed, or two-spirited. Mr. Premier, you promised to remove this from my classroom, but my teachers are still being forced to teach your curriculum. My mommy says she's not allowed to withdraw me from class. You are forcing her to." And then mentions three other political leaders. "Please tell me you will stop teachers from confusing me. I face enough in the world already." And then with links to curriculum and so on. And there's a petition, StopCorruptingChildren.com. Again, this is taking place in Canada, in Ontario. So the ad was published by the National Post. Some gay activist organizations and others in America picked up on it. Others in Canada, of course, picked up on it. The National Post gets blasted, and they publish an apology. This was the end of last month in Canada. Normally, I'm on to things more quickly, but because it happened in Canada, I was a little slow in catching this one. Earlier this week, the National Post ran an advertisement that has caused some controversy. The ad, bought by the Institute for Canadian Values, argued against aspects of the Ontario school curriculum that include instruction about certain aspects of human sexuality. Specifically, it objected to teaching young children, those between junior kindergarten and grade 3, about transsexual, transgender, intersex, two-spirited issues. Now, somebody's writing this with a straight face. But this is one of the most outrageous sentences you can read. The ad objected to teaching young children, those between junior kindergarten and grade 3, about transsexual, transgender, intersex, two-spirited issues. Oh, of course we should be teaching our 4 and 5 and 6 and 7-year-olds about these things. Of course they're going to understand transsexual, transgender, intersex, and two-spirit issues. Oh, it gets worse. Stay with us, and then we'll get to the polygamy topic today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So we're asking the question today, this Wednesday, as we focus on moral cultural issues. We're asking the question, is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? People say if you open the door to same-sex marriage, it's really not marriage, of course, but the redefinition of marriage, then you're going to open the door to polygamous unions, even incestuous unions. So is polygamy worse than, quote, same-sex marriage? And from a biblical viewpoint or a social viewpoint, why should we oppose polygamy? 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. Okay, before I get into that subject, I just want to finish what I was reading, this apology from the National Post in Ontario for running an ad that featured a picture of a little girl saying, please don't confuse me. Please don't make me wonder if I'm a boy or a girl or transgendered or intersexed or two-spirit. Two-spirit is a Native American, Native Canadian concept where some of the American Indians or others, First Nation people, as they'd be called in Canada, felt that they were both male and female, and they were called two-spirit, and they were honored in their society and so on. The National Post has procedures in place for vetting the content of advertising, especially advocacy advertising. The procedures are intended to ensure that such ads meet a standard of tone and respect that is consistent with furthering constructive dialogue about important public policy issues. In this case, those procedures were not followed. An ad that should not have run in its proposed form was allowed to run. This ad will not run in the National Post again. The National Post believes strongly in the principles of free speech and open, unhindered debate. We believe unpopular points of view should not be censored simply because some readers may find them disturbing or even offensive. Free speech does not apply only to views that will not offend anyone. The ad in question was attempting to make the case that the Ontario curriculum was teaching very young children about issues that, at that age, should be the domain of parents. In addition, it made the case that when parents or teachers may object to the material being taught, they did not have the right, in the case of parents, to remove their children from the class, or in the case of teachers, to decline to teach the material on the grounds that they objected to it. In an open society, these positions are worthy of being part of a debate on this issue. There are also legitimate arguments to make in a paid advertisement in the media outlet where the ad exceeded the bounds of civil discourse was in its tone and manipulative use of a picture of a young girl. It's not manipulative to show a picture of a young girl, a little girl, a 4 or 5 or 6 year old girl who's being taught this stuff. It's manipulative to be teaching her, not to have a picture of the girl in the ad saying, please don't confuse me. Come on. And the suggestion that such teaching corrupts children with everything that such a charge implies, and it's singling out groups of people with whose sexuality the group disagrees. Well, who else is having their sexuality expressed and taught to junior kindergarten kids? So not only is this the most outrageous apology I've ever read, there's now a movement of people calling on others to withdraw their subscriptions from the newspaper because of this. But the Post will also be donating the proceeds from the advertisement to an organization that promotes the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered people. This is outrageous. One parent wrote this in after this apology, Canadian parent. My daughter just started JK, junior kindergarten, this fall. So that would be pre-K here in America. So what, that's 4-year-olds? She is the most beautiful and innocent child imaginable. Friends, parks, chocolate milk, forts, stickers, and unicorns, these are the things that occupy her thoughts. She will not stay this way forever. Neither should she. But the thought of anyone discussing this material with her at this age literally rips me apart inside. It is mine and my wife's role to address these topics with her when the time is right and she has reached an appropriate level of maturity. I've never been a religious person, but it seems that Christians are the only ones looking out for normal family values these days. How do we get to a place where our priorities are so mixed up that we would put the interests of these groups ahead of our children? Boy, does that put things in perspective or what? And then one of our grads was in California and found this book was being read to kids, I believe in kindergarten. My uncle's wedding. And here are the two men, Uncle Steve and Uncle Mike, who are getting married. And here's the boy telling the story. Steve and I are getting married, Uncle Mike said. Everyone was excited. What does getting married mean? I asked little boy S. Well, said Uncle Mike, when two people really love each other and decide they want to spend the rest of their lives together, they get married. And it goes on, and they have a celebration, and everybody's dancing and enjoying the food, and whoa. I mean, it's so cool and so fun and so neat. And the back of the book, there's so much to do now that Uncle Mike and Steve are getting married. Follow Andy on this enjoyable journey as he talks about his uncle's wedding, how it affects him, and the things he gets to do in preparation for the ceremony. You'll laugh and smile as you read this adorable story about marriage and family. So here you got kindergartners being taught that marriage should be redefined to be the union of two people who love each other. Well, why just two? Isn't it a more fundamental violation of the meaning of marriage to say that marriage is now the union of any two people as opposed to the union of a male and female or the union of a male and females, as polygamy would argue? In other words, I would argue from scripture and sociologically and historically that redefining marriage to say that marriage is the union of two men or two women, in other words, just two people, is a more radical departure from the meaning of marriage. In fact, a more radical perversion of the meaning of marriage than is polygamy. Polygamy is a serious deviation from God's intent and a serious deviation from what is best for society, and something that we should wholeheartedly oppose. But in my view, when we talk about the slippery slope and you open the door to the redefinition of marriage to now it's the union of two people, that's further down the slope, actually, morally, sociologically, and in terms of the meaning of marriage, than is polygamy. And I address this in an article. If you haven't read it yet, go to townhall.com or just search for my name, Michael Brown, on Town Hall. The article is Polygamy Worse Than Same-Sex Marriage. Joey, let's play the beginning of the clip with O'Reilly, and he has as his guest fundamentalist Mormon Joe Darger, along with two of his three wives.
Unresolved problems have been tonight. According to most polls, gay marriage is becoming increasingly accepted by Americans, and a number of states have already legalized it, as you know. Now, we said years ago that if the country eventually permits gay marriage everywhere, then other groups will want the same treatment. With us now, three polygamists, Joe Darger and two of his wives, Alina and Vicky. They have written a book called Love Times Three. The third wife is Valerie, our true story of a polygamous marriage. All right, Mr. Darger, we're going to start with you. Let's get the facts down. You guys live in Utah.
Yes.
Where plural marriage is still a crime, correct?
It's a felony.
So how do you get around that?
Well, we've had for generations, we've lived this way. And my grandfathers were in prison for it. And my father's generation was keep their head down and never speak up. And we wrote Love Times Three because that's not productive. That's not healthy.
Out of jail if you have three wives and I should tell the audience, 24 children? That's a lot of kids.
Yes.
But how do you stay out of jail if it's illegal in Utah?
I'm not so sure I will stay out of jail. You stay out of jail by being quiet and never speaking about it.
All right, but I assume that you're only married to one of the ladies, is that correct?
I'm legally married to Alina.
Okay. Now, so you marry Joe, and then the two other ladies, but you consider them wives, right? It's not like you're the wife and they're the girlfriend.
Exactly.
No, you're all the wives.
Equal wives.
Right. Okay, equal wives.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you believe that it's your right as an American, Alina, to have your union legalized so polygamy is a law of the land? Polygamous marriage becomes a law of the land, like gay marriage has here in New York and other states.
Well, and it's interesting because a lot of people think that, but the debate is a little bit different right now. What we're trying to do is get it decriminalized, so we're not asking for a state marriage
license. No, but I want your belief. Do you believe your rights as an American, you're an American citizen, okay, resident
mm-hmm.
of Utah.
Yes.
Do you have the right to participate in a polygamous marriage? Should it be legal?
I have a right to, participate in a polygamous marriage and have it decriminalized, not have the criminal factor.
So you don't believe
factor.
It should be legal?
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying.
No, you're dodging. Do you
all
want
right,
it?
So just to jump in here. So this is the discussion, and their argument is just decriminalize it. Decriminalize it. We don't need the rest of society to pronounce this legal, but just decriminalize it. Now, that's their view. The fact that this is being discussed on O'Reilly, the fact that he has him, this Mormon, fundamentalist Mormon, fundamentalist independent Mormon, however he's identified, with his one legal wife and two others who identify as wives, and they all live together. They're happily married, a foursome with their 24 kids. Son O'Reilly, I don't watch TV shows, a lot of these famous shows, whether it's Friends or Survivor or Lost, or I've never seen any of them or episodes of them, but I'll read, about content when I'm researching things related to media. So you've had shows like Will and Grace and others that for years were helping to pave the way for a more gay-affirming society. You can see where things are going by watching these shows. Well, there are other shows as well I haven't seen, like Big Love and Sister Wives. What are they doing? They're helping pave the way for a polygamy-affirming society. And everyone I'm talking to in a state where same-sex, quote, marriage is now legal. You didn't think that would happen either, did you?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
As the show progresses, and then in the second hour of programming, I plan to go through biblical issues regarding polygamy. Hope to do some this show, and then we'll continue it. So you can catch all of that later today online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Right now, our first question. Is polygamy a more radical redefinition of marriage than is the union of two men or the union of two women in the name of marriage? Are they both equally bad? Is same-sex, quote, marriage far more of a deviation from what marriage really is than polygamy? 866-34-TRUTH. And why should we be opposed to polygamy? I mean, after all, David had multiple wives and well, we know Solomon got messed up with him, but here, you know, he's the wisest man who ever lived. And David's name, as far as someone who walked this earth outside of Jesus, is mentioned more than anybody else in the Bible. And, you know, people say, look, it's, you know, practiced in other cultures around the world today and has been here, you know, for millennia. So why do we think it's so wrong? And why do you even have gay activists say, oh, no, we're against polygamy. We're absolutely against polygamy. 866-34 Truth to the phones. Danielle in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello. I would like to tell you two things. First, my opinion, and then something I saw really interesting on television that really ties into all of this. Mm-hmm. My opinion first is that I think they're both wrong. Both of them are destructive to the family. In terms of polygamy, yeah, there were people in the Old Testament who got married to several women, but in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Just one and two. He didn't create Adam to have multiple wives. And even if you look at all of the polygamous marriages, yeah, they got married multiple times, but look at their children. And in the case of David, all of the rape of the sister, all the killings happened because he had multiple wives. Mm-hmm. Solomon got messed up because of multiple wives, and all of the dissension between Joseph and his brothers was because of multiple wives. So it's not exactly too beneficial to the family. And what I saw interesting on television this week is that I was watching The Cake Boss, and this lady, she calls herself the Korean Bride. She was talking about she wanted to make some kind of art project about a commentary on how people get married and divorced so quickly. So she got married 49 times in 49 states. To 49 things. Some of them were men, some of them were women, some of them were the Liberty Bell, some of them were trees, and some of them were horses.
Uh-huh. Amazing.
Yeah, so that's basically because of all of the problems, that's where, I guess, where marriage is headed in America.
Got it. Hey, Danielle, yeah, thanks for weighing in, and your observations about what the Bible instructs us concerning polygamy without directly addressing it in many passages. There are some that do directly address it, but that's absolutely relevant, and I plan to come back to that later in the broadcast. Thanks for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Frank in New York City, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Michael. I think Deuteronomy 17:17 it would be a good verse. I shall not multiply wives. But I would like to come at this from several different angles. Divorce and remarriage, I've been saying it for years, is just what I call polygamy on the installment plan. It's a more sophisticated version of it. Martin Luther advocated polygamy, as he did with concubinage and adultery. I could give you his exact quotes if you want. And Jesus said, a man shall cling to his wife, not wives. Also, in polygamous relationships, if somebody has a venereal disease, it's going to be spread to virtually all of them. So it's a very destructive form of life. It is not biblical. And that form of marriage will get you into hell just as quickly as a homosexual marriage would, too.
Now, Frank, let me ask you one question.
Yes.
You started with a very important statement about divorce and remarriage. From your understanding of Scripture, is divorce followed by remarriage ever possible?
No.
Okay,
never.
So in your mind, if there's divorce, there can't be remarriage as long as the original spouse is still living.
Correct. I could prove it from the Scriptures, but I guess we don't have time now.
Yeah, that's, you know, we haven't had a full-blown discussion about divorce. We've talked about it in and out, bits and pieces other times. So I plan to do it, and of course, that view of yours will be one of them that will be represented. But thanks for calling in, Frank. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, I've got time for some more calls. Let's just go for it. Kathleen in Bowie, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. First of all, I wanted to thank you for bringing this issue up. Is same-sex marriage worse or is polygamy worse? I have to say I agree with you because polygamy at least has some historical precedent. And, you know, people in the Bible did engage in it. It wasn't the ideal. It wasn't God's ideal. Mm-hmm. But as far as same-sex marriage, there is no such thing. And there never will be. And it's simply legislating a lie and then teaching it to society as truth. And so you're injecting a lie at the very core of society and forcing everyone to believe it, you know, forcing everyone to recognize something that's essentially just not even true. And so that's why I believe same-sex, quote, marriage is worse, because it's sort of like believing in the tooth fairy. Homosexuality and marriage have absolutely nothing to do with each other.
Right, and it's not to say that people can't be in love. It's not to say that people can't want to make a commitment to each other. It's not marriage by definition and by purpose. And, you know, just like I explained, 2 + 2 = 4 is not the ABCs, and ABCDE is not math.
Spelling is not math.
And once you understand, when I debated this issue with Professor Eric Small at University of Central Florida this past April, the primary argument was the reason we don't want to legalize it is because it's not marriage. It's not discriminatory against people. It's simply not marriage. And that's what we have to wake up to. We're further down the slippery slope than we realize. And we've done a more radical thing. And now this is being taught in schools as normalized, you know, as seen by this book, one of many I was just reading, My Uncle's Wedding, about Andy's two uncles, his uncle and another getting married, quote, getting married. So, yeah, Kathleen, I'm with you. Thank you for calling in. Well, Kathleen said she was with me, so I'm with her on this. 866-34-TRUTH. You can agree with me. You can differ with me. That's just fine. We'll take more of your calls on the other side of the break. Those of you that will be leaving us at this break, just a reminder, if you're listening on WAVA, I believe this first hour you can get in its entirety from 5 to 6 p.m. on the AM station. So whatever you miss here, you can't get online, keep listening later today. Make sure you read my article, Is Polygamy Worse Than Same-Sex Marriage? It's posted on townhall.com. Just type in my name in quotes in the search there. Or just look for this article, is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? And we want to do this. We haven't done this in a couple of weeks, but we've got something back in stock, so I want to do this again. Special offer today, my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, almost 700 pages, essential reading, massively documented, and you pick any chapter of interest, and it'll stir you, trust me, very deeply. That book, which is normally $27.99, plus my two-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who says he is a born-again Christian. That's over $40, $45 of resources. We'll send them to you both, and I'll sign the book to you for just $25. Queer Thing Happened to America and the two-hour DVD debate. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of that today. 1-800-278-9978. And let's show the world what marriage is really supposed to be.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us this Wednesday. We focus on moral, cultural issues. We've got some interesting shows planned in the coming weeks to address some very hot, very important issues for all of our Jewish friends and those with a Jewish heart. Sukkot Tabernacles celebration begins sunset this evening. Let's continue to pray for God's Spirit to be poured out, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I plan to focus on some messianic prophecies tomorrow on the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. Is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? And why are we so upset about the concept of polygamy? After all, it's in the Bible. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire for today's broadcast, relevant sources, resources. Let me read just a bit of this town hall article. Fundamentalist Mormon Joe Darger, along with two of his three wives, recently appeared on O'Reilly to discuss their new book, Love Times Three, Our True Story of a Polygamous Marriage. O'Reilly began the segment by pointing out that opponents of same-sex marriage have always argued that if marriage is redefined to include same-sex unions, other groups would want the same treatment. This is the classic slippery slope argument, and despite arguments to the contrary by leading gay thinkers, such as philosophy professor John Corvino, the slide down the slope appears inevitable. In 2004, polyamory advocate Jasmine Walston stated, "We're where the gay rights movement was 30 years ago." Just 5 years later, Newsweek featured an article entitled Polyamory, the Next Sexual Revolution, stating, it's enough to make any monogamous head spin, but the traditionalist had better get used to it. The story reported that researchers are just beginning to study the phenomenon, but the few who do estimate that openly polyamorous families in the United States number more than 500,000, with thriving contingents in nearly every major city. Without a doubt, it's a very short leap from polyamory to polygamy. And just as TV shows like Will and Grace helped pave the way for a more gay-affirming society, shows like Big Love and Sister Wives are helping to pave the way for a more polygamy-affirming society. Not surprisingly, in Canada, where same-sex marriage is legal throughout the country, Monique Pongratchik Spire, an advocate with the Canadian Civil Liberties Association, has argued on behalf of polygamists. Quote, consulting adults have the right, the charter protected right, to form the families they want to form. If homosexuals can, why can't polygamists? That last line is my own, not hers. There's more to this article I want to get to, but one of the arguments that I had here was that the slippery slope argument is correct and inevitable. If you open the door to the radical redefinition of marriage to include the union of two men or two women, then you're not going to be able to stop the polygamous unions or perhaps even incestuous unions from becoming legal. But what I said in the argument is the fundamental fallacy of the slippery slope argument is that if you redefine marriage to say it's the union of two men or two women, quote, same-sex marriage, if you redefine that, you'll open the door to polygamy as if polygamy is worse, whereas in my view, polygamy is not as far down the slope sociologically, biblically, morally. It's not as far down the slope as saying two men can marry or two women can marry. Oh, we should oppose them all as wrong and destructive for many reasons. But I say we're actually further down the slope than we realize. So a bit more from the article, then we'll take your calls. The logic really is quite strong. If someone has, quote, the right to marry the person they love, as gay activists incessantly tell us, why shouldn't people have the right to marry multiple loving partners? Following the same logic, when Columbia University professor David Epstein was charged with having a 3-year consensual affair with his adult daughter, his attorney Matthew Galuzzo said it's okay for homosexuals to do whatever they want in their own home. How is this so different? We have to figure out why some behavior is tolerated and some is not. Mm-hmm. As Rush Limbaugh noted, students posting on the Columbia University student newspaper website were mystified as to why it's illegal. Wait, why is consensual incest a crime? It might not be appealing to everyone, but if they're adults and they consent, who cares what they do? This is a typical comment from a student on the site. I've got all this in my book, but then if you haven't read it, we'll be back with your call.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I was just looking over at the responses to the article on Town Hall, and maybe I've read 2% of them, and normally don't have time to, and if you get hundreds of responses, there are just other things you got to be doing. But because I was going to be talking about it on the air today, I decided to take a look. This is my favorite one. Like I said, I've maybe read 5 or 10 out of the several hundred responses. What a moronically stupid, idiotic, nonsensical, totally uninformed, anti-religious, misspelled religious, heathen, and insulting comparison question. It's, meaning polygamy, clearly allowed in the old Bible and not changed in the new Bible, meaning Old Testament, New Testament. They all had many wives. All of them, in case you didn't know that. And it was not an issue. Anyway, if you're going to post something publicly, you get all kinds of responses. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Boy, I am wondering to all wives out there, all the wives I'm speaking to, if any of you would say, oh, yeah, sure, my husband can have another wife, and we'll all share the same house and share life together, and he'll be with one of the women one night and with me another night, and sure, that's not a problem. I mean, I know there are a lot of polygamous unions around the world and have been for centuries, but can you imagine that? I mean, I can't imagine that as a husband wanting to share my life with someone other than my wife. But as the wife, with the potential of the husband having multiple wives, can you imagine that? 866-34-TRUTH. I mean, let's not think in the abstract. This is outrageous. 866-348-7884. My question is, polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? And then we'll take up the issue as to why we should oppose polygamy biblically and socially. Patricia in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, I probably agree with you that same-sex is worse, but my point is, or another point is, how can he take care of 24 children? I think the ones that were arrested in Utah, they found out that the wives were on welfare because they couldn't take care of the children. So these people who support it should look economically. I mean, the men really can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a fair question to ask. Of course, because you have polygamy in many societies around the world, either there's a way where the husband is making more money, or there's a system where the wives are also bringing in income. Because if you have, say, one man and a stay-at-home mom, and you got, say, 4 or 5 kids, right? If you then multiply that and they're all stay-at-home moms, then you're absolutely right. He's got the 3 moms to care for and the, say, 12 or 15 children if you multiply it 3 times. So I'm sure there are economic answers to it, but it is a fair question to raise. Well, I appreciate that. Sorry to cut you off there. Didn't mean to cut you off, Patricia. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, if you were going to add anything else. All right, I guess not. So it wasn't so bad that I accidentally cut her off. Steve in Elmont, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, how you doing?
Doing fine.
I think that the way I see it is when this stuff is put on the children against the parents' will, that's where I draw the line. I think that's very bad right there. And indoctrinating people, Hollywood definitely does influence and pave the way for a lot of wicked things. That's why I don't even watch TV anymore. I don't even go to movies. I don't support Hollywood.
Yeah.
But there's something in the Bible I wanted to say. I don't know exactly where it is. I think it's in 2 Timothy where it talks about we're not supposed to engage in civilian affairs, but we're supposed to, as good soldiers unto Christ, we're supposed to endure hardships. And although there may be terrible things like this happening, in the last days, it talks about how people are going to be godless, insolent, you know, hating their parents, just, you know, rebellious and wicked. And, you know, this stuff is to be expected. And, you know, I say pray, have a relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing, because this world is going to leave us with a cold, cold wickedness.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I appreciate your abstaining from Hollywood and not supporting Hollywood and doing that as a way to be separated to the Lord for sure. And the passage in 2 Timothy, he's giving an analogy here. 2 Timothy 2, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of right. Christ Jesus. That's verse 3. Verse 4, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crop. So he's using analogies here in terms of how we have to have wholehearted devotion to the Lord and play according to the rules and also the support of leaders. But I do believe that in every society, depending on the responsibility God gives us, that we are to be salt and light. And when Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3 about the last days and the evil, he's really talking about from those days on, because he tells Timothy, you know, mark this carefully. And then he gives a list of things and says, hey, stay away from these kinds of people, meaning that the last days are not just going to be wonderful. So we've had a messed up world since Adam fell. Someone posted a note on Facebook, I think the slippery slope started when Adam and Eve fell. So that's very true. So I'm with you in terms of let's not have this idea that the main thing that we're to do is bring about cultural reformation and that we are going to make America this beautiful, glorious country, and then there'll be peace on earth, and then we'll welcome Jesus back. So there's going to be wickedness and war right to the end. But as we shine as lights, as we demonstrate what marriage is supposed to be, because it has implications, like, you know, we're saying, for the kids, for the next generation. And that's the other thing, you know, when our kids or grandkids come to us and say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, what were you doing when they let this be passed? Because they're teaching this in my schools now, and my friends are being confused. And then it's even harder to lead people to Jesus because there's so much more confusion. And to make disciples now is so much more difficult than it was a generation ago because of the family's broken down in so many ways. But, yeah, Steve, yes. I appreciate you weighing in.
I just wanted to say, years ago when I was in a church in Queens, I live out here in Long Island now, we did a petition against Two Mommies and Two Daddies, these books that they were trying to bring into the schools and teach the children. You have to stand up. Even these people you were saying were secular people, but they said the only ones that are fighting are the Christians, the ones who are fighting for us.
Yeah, we just have to, we have to prioritize what we do and how we do it. First and foremost, walk with Jesus, be lights, and then as lights in this world, be responsible citizens, care for society, do what's best. But
exactly.
thank you for weighing in, Steve. I got to run to some other calls, but thank you, man, for weighing in. I appreciate it, and I appreciate Steve's commitment and passion. 866-34-TRUTH. Mary in Jersey City, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. You know, I think there are several different issues involved. I mean, first of all, gay marriage is definitely opposed by God. So there's no comparison between homosexual marriages and polygamy because, you know, God specifically says that this is an abomination and it should not be done. So they're two completely separate issues. But in terms of polygamy, I mean, the Bible says obey the laws of the country, so or obey the laws of wherever you are. So if you're living in a country where polygamy is against the law, then you're basically breaking the law. You're doing what the Bible says you shouldn't do.
Yep.
The Bible says that, you know, in 1 Timothy 3:2, it says that leaders of the church should be husbands of one wife. So I don't think that the Bible specifically is saying that polygamy in itself is sinful, because otherwise we wouldn't say the leaders should be husbands of one wife. But at the same time, polygamy in the Old Testament and in earlier times, there was still a focus on God, because God said be fruitful and multiply. So the purpose of polygamy was so that people would be fruitful and multiply. Now, when we have a polygamous situation, very often it's because sex has become the man's god. You know, it's
the idolatry or women just looked at as more
a woman as possessions. Or sex slaves. Exactly.
Yeah.
Women,
and
women
yeah,
when, have become...
When you, yeah, let me just jump in, Mary. When you mention 1 Timothy 3 and leaders being called, can be husbands of only one wife, let's also remember that leaders were there to set examples.
Right.
Leaders had that role in the body. A previous caller mentioned that God brought the two together. You know, it was Adam and Eve as opposed to Adam and Eve and Jeanette and Francine and so on. So that was the ideal, but when Jesus reinforces marriage in Matthew 19 and says that this is the way it was from the beginning, that the man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and the two is emphasized there by Jesus, become one flesh, not the three, or the four.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And the next hour, which, of course, folks can listen to online, I'm going to get more into what the scriptures say.
Can I just mention two quick scriptures also?
Go ahead. Got to be quick, though.
1 Corinthians 7:23 said, don't be slaves of anyone. So to the extent that the woman is a sex slave of the man, that is wrong. In addition to that, 1 Timothy 5:8 says that anyone who doesn't care for his immediate family is worse than an unbeliever. So to the extent that someone is in a polygamous relationship and all the wives are on welfare, then that is definitely contrary to God's plan.
Got it. All right. Hey, we got a break here. Thanks for weighing in, Mary. I appreciate it. I'm going to try to get to some more calls. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to see if I can finish this article. Again, if you don't get to hear all of it, you can read my article, Is Polygamy Worse Than Same-Sex Marriage, on townhall.com. Always a lot of lively, interesting articles that are posted there. 866-34-TRUTH. I've been asking this question. Is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? Don't forget, you can also weigh in on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Back to the phones. Michelle in Staten Island, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi. In answer to your question, well, a lot of your previous callers have really hit it on the spot. But as far as it being, comparing whether same-sex marriage is as bad as polygamy. Polygamy, you know, like your other caller was saying, has been around for centuries, in some countries still going on. And the effects of it on society as a whole, I think should really make a difference on what should be allowed or what should be permitted. Unfortunately, you know, we're in America and we have all these freedoms. And these freedoms are now becoming, I believe, a curse to us. Because we're missing the point. This country was built on the main foundation was the Bible. And to go against anything which is clearly stated, homosexuality is an abomination in Leviticus, it is totally wrong. It goes against the human structure of the body, that kind of relationship. It is just not, it's detrimental. If we were all homosexuals, society would cease, humanity would cease, because women cannot procreate with women. Mm-hmm. So I think that the effect of the sin makes it so bad. And I think as Christians and as the body of Christ, we must stop candy coating it and call it for what it is. It is an abomination unto God. He does not agree with it. And to accept that kind of lifestyle, or to accept that kind of marital status, makes a mockery out of the true marriage, which is and the Word of God, and it's insulting. And I find that we really need to begin to start taking a stand and stop candy coating it and trying to be politically correct and just call it for what it is. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's not.
It shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. It's not marriage. You live in Staten Island, so in your state right now, my home state, it is, quote, legal. And again, you know, there may be people listening and you're trying to follow the Lord and you have very strong same-sex attractions and you say, well, God must hate me. Or am I an abomination? No, look, every human being is fallen. Every human being needs the mercy of God. Jesus died for heterosexual and homosexual alike. What we can control is our behavior. What we can say is, Lord, here is my life. I'm giving myself to you to be holy. He can change desires, affections, but what we can do is live holy lives. You say, does that mean I never marry? Don't even think about that. Give yourself to the Lord in holiness and let him work these things out. But the union of two men, the union of two women, is simply not marriage, no matter what the law says. Susan in Danvers, Massachusetts, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
My opinion is that I think they're both equally bad.
Mm-hmm.
God put down a mandate from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. He said, he brought the woman to the man, and he said that they should cleave to each other. And even our bodies are made so that we fit together. There's no room for a third. There's no room for male-male or female-female. It's how God said it. It's how God made it. And I don't think, I hear some of the people that are calling in saying that polygamy is has been allowed and whatever. But it isn't allowed. God said, no, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yep. And look, you know, the problem is it could well become legal in America. It's more outrageous that we now have legalized same-sex, quote, marriage. And again, the arguments in terms of God's design, God's plan, it's really pretty simple. Let me get to one more call. Nancy in Bayshore, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to, you know, I agree that both are equally wrong, and they're wrong because God said so. God said it's wrong, and he said it's wrong not because he's, you know, he's a killjoy, but because he knows that it's not good for us. And it's one man and one woman, but I don't think one is worse than the other, and I don't think we should get into that, because then we're going into degrees of sin, you know, and it's wrong because God said it's wrong. But I wanted to ask for your advice. I have a sister-in-law who is openly gay. She's been with her partner for many years, and she's going to get married to her. We live in the state of New York, mm-hmm. and she's going to get married to her in June. And I told my husband that I don't want to go to the wedding, and he's very upset at me because he thinks that, he says that as a Christian, I should, you know, I should love her first and still, you know, and go and be part of the, you know, go and be part of the celebration. I said, but how can I celebrate something I don't believe in?
No, you can't. And your husband, you just have to ask him to honor you here and to say, in good conscience, I can't. It's sending a wrong message. I will reach out to my sister-in-law and to her partner. I'll be there for them. I'll pray for them. But I cannot celebrate something that God is against. I cannot celebrate something that is to someone's own hurt and long-term, not their benefit. And let me say this also, Nancy. Ask your husband, what if it was legal to marry someone within your own family? What if she was going to marry her own sister? Would he go to that if it was legal? I think he'd say, no, that's okay, that's wrong. Well, this is wrong as well. May not be as wrong as incestuous homosexuality, but it is still wrong in terms of marriage. So by no means, to any Christians listening, if you're invited to same-sex commitment ceremony, civil union, wedding, under no circumstances should you go. That's my own view, because you're sending a wrong message. You can show them in 1,001 other ways that you care for them, but you cannot affirm. You cannot affirm their homosexual practice, and you cannot affirm.
I feel as though I'm like compromising my own relationship with God.
Of course you are, and you're sending a hurtful message to your sister-in-law and her partner. You're sending a message that will hurt more than help. Just be humble about it and ask your husband to say, look, I can't do this in the sight of God. Whatever's not of faith is sin. Romans 14, don't make me sin. And I trust that he will honor that. All right. Make sure you read the article. It's Polygamy Worse Than Same-Sex Marriage. Go to townhall.com. Just type in polygamy or type in my name because it's on the homepage for a day, and then it goes into the archives. You can still weigh in on comments there. A great special offer this week. Friends, if this subject is important to you, then by all means, make sure you get my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. We've got over $40 of resources. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, plus my two-hour DVD debate with Harry Knox, a gay activist who claims to be a born-again Christian, on a Christian response to homosexuality. Those two, I'll sign the book, just $25, and we'll pay the postage. But we're just offering this today, so give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, we need to wake up here in America. We need to come to our spiritual senses. We're further down the slippery slope than we realize. And if we don't have the wisdom and the will to resist the radical gay redefinition of marriage, we will certainly not be able to resist the movement towards polygamy. I've got a question for you. Is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? And if polygamy was in the Bible, what's so bad about having it today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am holding in my hands, you've heard me say that before, I'm holding in my hands a book that was sent to me from one of our grads who was going through California, a book that was read to kindergartners, My Uncle's Wedding. It's little boy Andy, and he's talking about how his uncle is going to get married. Steve and Mike are going to get married, and oh, it's a wonderful story. If we have allowed now in several states in America, most notably New York, the radical redefinition of marriage. So there's no longer the union of a man and a woman, but it's the union of two people. Okay, it's fundamentally, radically redefined marriage. Then is it further down the slippery slope to say that we would have polygamy institutionalized, recognized? Because polygamy, in my view, is actually not as far down the slippery slope because it's existed around the world for millennia. It's common in many countries to this day, and it was in the Bible, although clearly in the Bible it's a deviation from God's ideal, but not forbidden in terms that are very, very strong, as homosexual practice is forbidden in Scripture. So I want to pose two questions for you. First hour was discussing which is worse, polygamy, same-sex, quote, marriage. I want to ask two different questions to you this hour, all right? 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call, or you can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, 866-348-7884. Two questions. To all the wives who are listening to me right now, how would you feel about the idea of your husband being married to another woman or women? Muslim countries, often four is the limit. So let's say just a max of three more wives, or even one more wife. How'd you feel about that? Would you say, well, that's okay. I mean, it's a way to expand family and share lives together and share who takes care of the kids. And perhaps, you know, one can be freed up to work a little bit more and so on. And, you know, I'm not a jealous kind of person. Are you going to say, who are you kidding, buddy? What? Wake up to reality, man. Of course not. So if you're a wife, how would you feel about your husband marrying another woman or women along with you? You share a nice house together, you have multiple bedrooms, and I guess the husband goes from bedroom to bedroom over the course of the week, however it works in a polygamous household. How would you feel about that? And perhaps a more important question, just because it's more immediately relevant, based on Scripture, why do we say that polygamy is wrong? Now, what I argued in my article on Town Hall that came out, Monday it came out? I think so. Is polygamy worse than same-sex marriage? So if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. What I argued was this, and I'll just read you the tail end of it, because I don't want to get into this whole discussion again, but I want this to lead into where we're going. What I said was this: even though the vast majority of Americans are fundamentally opposed to polygamy for good reason, it has been practiced throughout history and it remains common in many countries today. Polygamy is even found in the Bible, although it is consistently painted in a negative light, and the ideal set forth in the Scriptures is the lifelong union of one man and one woman. In short, polygamy is a serious distortion of the divine ideal, whereas same-sex marriage, from a scriptural viewpoint, is a complete perversion of that ideal. Throughout human history, the essential components of marriage have always been a man and a woman, not merely two people. This means that polygamy represents a less radical redefinition of marriage than does same-sex marriage, since polygamy includes the essential components of male and female. So, number one, if you're a wife, how'd you feel about the idea of your husband having multiple wives? Number two, how can we argue from the Bible that polygamy is wrong? We will be back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know between India, no, this is not about polygamy here, it's just my personal travels, between India, Italy, Korea, just those three countries, had like 50 overseas trips. You add in Germany, England, probably 75 overseas trips just with those countries. So well over 100 trips overseas, administered around the world. I've never been, in terms of overseas, I've never been to Hawaii. But this coming week, I'm scheduled to be in Hawaii for a couple days of ministry, and we'll be broadcasting live from Hawaii, God willing, from Honolulu for 3 days. Yeah. And the reason I'm coming is for all of our listeners in Hawaii. We are on daily this hour, KGU, in Honolulu and other parts of Hawaii. And we've got a special rally just for you at the radio studios themselves, Salem Media of Hawaii, which is 1160 North King Street in Honolulu. So for details, just go to AskDrBrown.org. It's right on the homepage, Monday night, October 17th, from 6:30 to 8:30, just to meet with you listeners. And I'll share some things about my life, give you an encouraging word, answer some of your questions. We'll do this face-to-face. So we're doing it right there in our studio offices. So it's going to be a really neat opportunity to meet face-to-face. And then the next night, October 18th, Pastor's Dinner. I've got a word I really want to share with the pastors of Hawaii. So if you haven't signed up for that, be sure to contact KGU to do that. So personal invitation. Yeah, I know. I've got everybody wants to carry my bags on this trip. So, wives, how would you feel about your husband if you live in a country where polygamy is legal? How would you feel about that? Yeah, honey, I'm taking another wife, and you're getting a little older. I want to have some more kids, so I'll be bringing in a younger woman, or whatever the reasons are. Wives, ladies, be honest. How'd you feel about that? Think that there'd just be happy union? You think that there won't be jealousy? Do you think that there won't be confusion? 866-34-TRUTH. And from a biblical perspective, why do we oppose polygamy? So we're not talking about homosexual unions right now. We're talking about polygamy from a biblical perspective. 866-34-TRUTH. In fact, we will go to Hawaii right now. Dave, is it Molokai, Hawaii?
Yes, it is.
All right, how far are you from Honolulu?
Oh, I can see it from where I'm at. It's roughly about maybe 17 miles.
Ah, well, man, you're 17 miles away. I got to fly all across America, and then from America, from our shores, then fly all the way down to extended America to get you guys. So hopefully I'll get to meet you if all you have to do is travel 17 miles next Monday. But,
God willing. Go ahead.
God willing. Yeah, amen. Well, God willing on my end, too.
Well, in the beginning, God had made, marriage was his idea, and the commitments is essential for any successful marriage. Romance is also important. But he goes, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now that's the uniqueness of oneness, becoming one again, one accord, one mind, one body, one God. And then in Ephesians, it speaks in Ephesians 31, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. And then there's another scripture, I can't quote right off the address, but it goes, no man has ever left his mother, his father, his wife, his children, his town, for Christ's sake, okay, for the kingdom. But the one thing is that believers are supposed to be one in unity, the fellowship of believers in the church. There's only one Spirit of God that activates a true church. And the glorious future to which is to come, we are called for this hope. Okay, that the Christ being whom we all belong to, and our commitment to Christ.
Yeah, so the image then of Christ and the church would be an image of what marriage is supposed to be, and he doesn't have many brides. He has one unified bride. Hey, Dave, thanks for weighing in, and God willing, we'll see you next week, just a few days from now. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me give some of the arguments that pro-polygamy people would give before we go back to the phones. I'm looking at a chart that's been recommended by probably over 12,000 people on Facebook so far. Someone posted it. James posted it earlier for me to see, excuse me, on my Facebook page. So marriage equals, this is according to the Bible, marriage equals man plus woman, nuclear family, Genesis 2:24, or man plus wives plus concubines. Abraham, two concubines, Gideon, one, Nahor, one, Jacob, one, Eliphaz, one, actually Jacob, two, that's another story. Man plus woman plus woman's property, Genesis 16. Man plus woman plus woman plus woman, polygamy. Then it lists all the men who had polygamous unions in the Bible. Man plus brother's widow, levirate marriage. Then rapist plus his victim, Deuteronomy 22. A virgin who is raped must marry her rapist. Rapist must pay victim's father 50 shekels of silver for property loss. Then male soldier plus prisoner of war. Then male slave plus female slave. So those would be marriages according to the Bible. So how dare we argue that marriage is just the union of one man and one woman when the Bible gives these other unions as well. So how do you respond to that? On the one hand, you could argue that from a sociological viewpoint that polygamy is not in the best interest of the women and it produces rivalry and jealousy and things like that. But if it's just a matter of bringing more children into the world, if, you know, in the ancient world, many times infertility was just such a great issue and women dying in childbirth, and you didn't often have large, large families. You know, I've been watching friends of mine who are Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Jews. Their patterns are to have 8, 10, 12 kids. It's very common. They don't practice birth control, and with the cycle of relations that Judaism would have, the husband and wife would especially be together at certain times of the month where she would be most fertile. And so I've got friends with 10 kids, 12 kids. Now I've got Christian friends with large families, but it seems the Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Jews are having even larger families. And you can go to parts of Israel where, I mean, it's very, very common for just about everybody to have like 12 kids. And I was talking to a rabbi friend of mine, and I said, you know, how come it wasn't like that when you read in centuries past, you know, not just the biblical account, but you read in centuries past, and, you know, this one had one son, this one had two kids. And, you know, we were discussing it and saying, yeah, I mean, it was health issues and other issues that childbirth and things related to it were much more deadly. And, you know, if you look at John Wesley's family, how many of his brothers and sisters died? 9 or 12, whatever it is, or most of them died before they got to be a year old. If you go to some countries today, the first birthday party is a really big party. I remember learning that when I was in South Korea. The first party is a really, really big party. And when I asked why, I was told it is because to make it to the first year was the big thing in the ancient world. So you might say a man had concubines just so that there would be children, that there would be some posterity, that there would be children to care for the elderly in their old age and to raise up another generation, children to go out and work the fields and so on. So it was just a matter of survival. But still, if these things were allowed in the Bible, why would we be so opposed to them today? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to get into the biblical argument a little bit more. But again, my two questions: why should we oppose polygamy based on Scripture? And if you're a woman, how would you feel about your husband marrying another wife or wives? Dan in Des Moines, Iowa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, thanks for taking the call. My wife, she watched this show. It was about a polygamous family. And, you know, we were laying there the other night, and I asked her, I said, well, what would you think? You know what I mean? Using religion or, you know, I understand what you're saying, like back then, you know, how they did, you know, for procreation and stuff like that, what the problems they had. But I could see this guy more or less just, you know, using a faith along with it ties him to it to more or less, I see lust. You know, that's how I look at it. I see this guy, you know, like you said, you know, bringing in a younger gal, moving her in a couple blocks away and then marrying her and then bringing her in the home. And, I mean, to me, it'd be confusing the children. And I mean, you see the jealousy among the women. They try to deny it, but then you see them on different episodes crying their eyes out because they're not getting enough time, you know, one-on-one with a certain man because he's going from bedroom to bedroom. And one week he'll be with the one gal, and the next week he'll be in the bedroom with another gal. And
yeah, so just to jump in, Dan, you know, the Bible certainly tells us about this with Jacob being married to Leah and Rachel. I haven't seen any of the TV shows, but you're talking about TV episodes with what it's Sister Wives or Big Love or whatever it is. I guess those are the main shows.
Yeah.
So the women are, you're finding out what's really going on there.
Yes. They're in tears sitting on couches talking about how they're not getting enough time with their husband.
Yeah,
I see a guy running around the house happy that he's got all these wives around.
Yeah. And I can't imagine. I mean, where's the equality? Where is the equality in the relationship between husband and wife in a polygamous marriage? All right. We'll be back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm speechless. Just looking at a note that I was sent. I've been raised... I know what I've been taught, but I'm trying to make a few choices from a biblical standpoint, not just an opinion. Is swinging wrong, meaning sleeping around with people outside of wedlock while married? That's a serious question someone just sent me. If both spouses and all parties are in agreement about it, which would annul it as adultery since it's an agreement, not a hidden lie, and it says that we should please each other, what is to say it's wrong? Thought you may have some input or feedback. I'm just curious as to what you would have to say about it. And no, we aren't swingers, but I just got brought up at a cookout when someone asked me what I just asked you. I kind of felt stupid since I didn't really have an answer as to how to respond. I just wrote back during the break, a serious question? Wow. Adultery has nothing to do with being hidden. It simply has to do with being married to one person and having sexual relations with someone outside of that union. Ugly, detestable, destructive, all flesh. Yikes. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online ask drbrown.org. Wednesdays, we focus on moral and cultural issues here. First hour of the broadcast, I discussed, is polygamy worse than same-sex, quote, marriage? And my view is no, same-sex marriage is even worse than polygamy. But we should oppose polygamy socially and biblically. So my questions, my questions this hour are, number one, if you're a woman, your wife in particular, how would you feel if your husband, is it legal to have multiple wives? How would you feel about that? Come on, stop talking the abstract. This is real stuff. Number two, biblically, why should we oppose polygamy? Now, what got me going on the subject again was a clip I saw online from O'Reilly, where he had a man on who's a fundamental independent Mormon who's legally married to one wife but has two others, so three wives, and they wrote a book together with two of the women, Love Times Three, and they're defending why this should be decriminalized. And I've said for a while, this is coming our way. It's more radical to redefine marriage to include two men or two women than it is to include polygamy, although they are both wrong. 866-34-TRUTH. Lori in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Yeah, actually, I was very close to a situation like that, so much so that I don't want to really reveal a lot of the details because it touched my life personally. And it was very, very painful and very, very unjust. And it doesn't just affect the women. It affects the children in huge ways. And a woman can feel jealousy for herself, but then she feels jealousy for a child that may be loved of another woman much more than her own. So there's that element to it. And then you talked about scripture. Scripture gives lots of accounts of polygamy. In fact, this individual would always justify the polygamy that I was close to.
Can I just ask, Lori, how you were actually close to that here in the States? Or were you somewhere
here,
else?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was it that you were close to that when it's illegal in America?
You know what? You're kind of blanking out. How was I close to that? What?
How were you close to this potentially happening in your own life when polygamy is illegal here in America?
I don't want to answer that because I just
that's okay then. We'll drop the question.
I'd rather
back to the Bible.
What I was starting to say about scripture. Can I do that?
Please.
Yeah. So anyway, this individual was always justifying what he was doing by saying, "Oh, you know, look at David and look at Solomon." But I mean, yeah, not only David, not only Solomon, but like you said, Abraham, and then there's the father of Samuel. But in each case, were we told about this because it's a good thing, or were we told about this so that you could see in all cases, not in some cases, but in all cases, there was strife. There were bad things that came from it. I mean, the horrific things that came in David's household. Hannah had so much pain over the situation that she was in and the jealousy that was there.
Exactly. Romans 15 tells us that whatever was written in the past was written for our benefit. But then 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that we are warned also by the accounts in the past. And yeah, there may be a casual mention of someone had three wives, someone had two wives, but you're right. Whenever it goes into any details, be it Abraham and Sarah with a concubine, be it Jacob and his two wives, of course, which wasn't his choice. And then the concubines
and with
there
Abraham
as well.
Abraham and Sarah, by the way. Hello, with Abraham and Sarah, are we not still paying the freaking price today?
Yeah, exactly. So when the Bible does mention this explicitly and go into any detail, David and his wives and the consequences with the children, Solomon and his 700 wives and 300 concubines, whenever it mentions things in any detail, as you mentioned, Elkanah, the father of Samuel. So whenever it mentions any of these things where there are multiple wives, it does mention the tension, it does mention the problems and the difficulties, absolutely.
I want to add one more thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry
to
interrupt you, but I don't want to be cut off. And do you notice that also with polygamy, very often you find pedophilia?
Yeah, now, of course, you do hear those... you do hear those concerns on a regular basis, because
that's not only so with the in this country we've had all kinds of men arrested for marrying children 12 years old and younger, but you know in Arabian countries you hear in fact
child weddings, and of course Islam would contribute to that because of the example of Muhammad as well. Hey, we got a break coming up, but
okay.
Lori, thank you for weighing in with all of that. I do appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll take more of your calls on the other side of the break. I did this a few weeks ago. We got a real good response. We had to restock one item, so I want to do this again now. If you still do not have a copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is really the textbook on gay activism and its effects on our society, from our children's schools into what the Bible teaches, right through laws being passed, restrictions of freedom of religion, and where things are going, you'll find it eye-opening, shocking. At the same time, it'll give you a heart to pray for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. You can get the book, which only sells for $27.99, beautiful hardcover, almost 700 pages, 1,500 endnotes in it, plus my two-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox, claims to be a born-again Christian. He was on President Obama's Faith Advisory Council on a Christian response to homosexuality. Together, they're about $45. We want to send both to you, postage paid, just $25, and I'll sign the book as well. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and the two-hour DVD debate with Harry Knox. If you already have a copy of the book, want me to sign it to someone else, just tell us when you place your order. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. We'll come back and start to lay out a biblical case as to why we should oppose polygamy. We will be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it was probably a couple years ago, I heard about someone that I had known when I was in another state. He had been a student in a ministry school that I led. And someone said, yeah, he's away from the Lord now, and he's got these really weird ideas, and he says that polygamy is okay. I said, why in the world would he be arguing? What? Polygamy is okay? And then a pastor friend calls me and says, somebody in my church, he's arguing that polygamy is okay, and even though we can't do it legally right now, that biblically it's okay. I said, he's in your church. He's a friend of mine, actually a former student from Long Island from many, many years ago. Are you serious? Well, you may have caught on O'Reilly. I didn't see the show, but I watched the news clip where he had a fundamental, independent Mormon author along with two of the man's three wives, three of whom had written the book Love Times Three about their polygamous marriage. I wrote an article that came out on Monday on Town Hall, Is Polygamy Worse Than Same-Sex Marriage?, where I argued that polygamy is actually not as far down the slippery slope as is the redefinition of marriage to say it's the union of a man and a woman, which leads us back to the question, well, biblically, just talking from a biblical perspective, now we're not even talking socially, but from a biblical perspective, why should we say polygamy is wrong? Why should we oppose polygamy, whereas the Bible mentions several different types of marriage? 866-34-TRUTH. This question, friends, is going to come up more and more. Like it or not, believe it or not, it's going to come up more and more. I talked about it before I was on many of the stations I'm on now, a couple years back probably, but we are revisiting it. Maybe it was just last year I talked about it, but we are revisiting it today. 866-34-TRUTH. You can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. And also, if you are a wife, I'd like to know how you feel about, if it was legal, your husband having several more wives, one, two, three more wives. And he's with one night and sleeps in one bedroom one night, another bedroom another night. Maybe you get to sleep with him one night a week or whatever it is, and you've got your different kids that are all being raised together. And how'd you feel about that? 866-34-TRUTH. So a little chart that's circulating widely these days says, according to the Bible, marriage equals man plus woman, nuclear family, Genesis 2:24. Man plus wives plus concubines. Man plus woman's property. Man plus woman plus woman plus woman, polygamy. Man plus brother's widow, levirate marriage. Rapist plus his victim. Male soldier plus prisoner of war. Male slave plus female slave. That these are all marriages according to Scripture. Now, of course, what you notice is that as wrong as some of these unions are and that we would oppose them today, for example, a male soldier and a prisoner of war, this is not ancient Israel, we understand that. But it is interesting, of course, that these are all male-female. That even though some of these we'd say, what, this is wrong, we reject, just the reminder that in point of fact, they are all male-female. So let's just remember that when you say same-sex marriage might lead to polygamy. Oh, yeah, I believe it would. Same-sex, quote, marriage, the redefinition of marriage, as radical as this, would open the door to polygamy. Yeah, I agree. If we don't have the wisdom and the will to resist the one, we won't have the wisdom and the will to resist the other. That being said, the union of two people, as opposed to the union of a man and woman, is a far more radical redefinition of marriage than is polygamy. So again, biblically speaking, why should we oppose this? Now, of course, Deuteronomy 22, a man rapes a woman, he has to marry her, he has to pay the father, he can never divorce her. That was, in that culture, that was meant to protect the woman and to tell the man, you don't just do this. Because once he raped her, she would be so shamed, she would be so dishonored that she would not be able to marry, and it would be shame in her entire family. So this was not meant like, hey, you rape her, you get her. No, this was saying, don't touch her unless you want to keep her for life. But let's think this through. Biblically, why should we oppose polygamy? And if you're a wife, how would you feel about your husband having other wives along with you?
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. We're talking about polygamy and biblically why we should oppose polygamy. It's Wednesday. We're focusing on moral, cultural issues. We are also asking the question, if you are a woman, how would you feel, a wife in particular, about your husband marrying multiple wives? How would that sit with you? 866-348-7884. Anytime you have a hard time getting through or just want to weigh in, you can always do it on our Facebook page. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown. Okay, before I lay out more of my biblical thinking as to why we should oppose polygamy, I want to get your thoughts on the subject, starting with Fred in Bradenton, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Look, I'd just like to say that, you know, as a small boy, young boy, I was not raised in church. And but from ever since I can possibly remember, I knew in my heart that things like homosexuality, fornication, premarital sex, man having more than one wife, I knew already written in my heart that this was wrong. And therefore, I can say like Paul of old, therefore we are all without excuse.
All right, so in what way as a boy did this strike you as wrong?
I mean, it was just something that I knew there was man, there was woman, and I don't know, I guess you could call it common sense, and I call it spiritual common sense, I suppose, that I just knew that one man, you know, you just had man, you had woman, I could add that 1 + 1 and come up with 2 and know that that was the only way that was right. If that
Got
makes
it.
Any sense to you.
Yeah, sense is the word. It makes plenty of sense, sir, and it would be the kind of sense that God would put inside of us. Hey, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. I am just looking at some callers that are on the line in Honolulu. So just another reminder, if you missed my reminder, the first half hour of this broadcast today, God willing, next week is my first time in Hawaii. Yeah. Been around the world to many, many countries, but this is my first time going to the, I've been in Alaska, so extended United States, but first time in Hawaii. So we'll be there broadcasting live from Hawaii, and then Monday night rally just for our listeners. And we're not having thousands of people. This is going to be a meeting where we'll get to greet each other. You'll get to ask me questions. I'll get to share some things with you. So it's going to be a great night. That'll be 6:30 Monday night. For details, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, but it'll be at the KGU Studios in Hawaii. And then Tuesday night, for all the pastors on the island, we really look forward to seeing you at the KGU Salem Pastors Rally. We had an awesome time in Boston last week. Looking forward to Honolulu this coming week, trusting the weather will be better in Honolulu than it was in Boston. 866-34-TRUTH. Wayne in Honolulu, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hope to meet you this coming Monday, sir.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I just had a real quick question. It's actually a pointed question.
Yeah.
I teach Sunday school, and over the years, no one has ever been able to tell me where God in the Bible directed man to take more than one wife. From all we understood through our studies, it's always been man deciding to try to hasten things up.
Yeah, there's one example. Okay. There's one example, and it was under the law, and it was in the book of Deuteronomy, and the law was that if a man is married and then dies without producing children, and he has a brother who's married or unmarried, the brother takes that wife. So in that case, he would have a second wife. And then the first child that is born to that woman is now in the name of the deceased brother. So that's the one and only example that was something under the law, just like divorce was under the law. But Jesus said in terms of divorce, it was because of the hardness of heart. So, but that's the one and only example. Otherwise, it's just something that people did. You're absolutely right.
Right. So And even it's almost impossible. I actually work as an investigator for the Child Support Enforcement Office in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the tragedy of women having multiple people to men to sire their, to have children with, and it's a tragedy. So it's impossible. It is impossible.
Oh yeah. I mean, once you have the multiple partners, either way, a man with multiple women or a woman with multiple men, you have all kinds of sociological issues that can potentially come up. But Wayne, thank you, sir, for weighing in, and I hope I can get to meet you when I'm in your city next week. In fact, let me take one more call. Lisa, we'll stay in Honolulu for a moment. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. Hi.
You're on the air.
Well, I do have a perspective on how you were saying about what's up with polygamy, because mm-hmm. I'm a divorced wife.
Yeah.
My ex-husband at the time was fooling around with multiple young girls. I mean, their ages is from 14 and up.
Oh, I'm sorry
and
to hear that.
He's still doing it until today, you know. But I can say this much. God does say there's one man for one woman, and God also wants us to realize that His will be done, and He rather wants us to reveal truth and be good about it and be humble about it, not be angry about it. But polygamy is really wrong in God's eyes as well as others, and I believe that it is wrong because you shouldn't be having sex with your own family members. That is totally against God, period. I mean, that is sickening.
Right, so we're saying, though, outside of family members, right, completely unrelated people, you're still saying that you could, the pain you went through with your husband doing what he did, if he brought one of those women in the house and said, okay, now she's my extra wife, that would not have made your pain any less, obviously.
No, that's why I divorced him.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of freedom that they want. They want to have that type of fun. I mean, that's the devil. That's the devil's mark all over it.
Yeah.
You know, and people are being deceived.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa, I pray that the Lord just restores things in your life and blesses you in many ways. And I hope to meet you when I'm in Honolulu this coming week on Monday night at the KGU studios, 866-34-TRUTH. You know, look, I asked the personal question, wives, how would you feel? Just to remind us that these are human beings we're dealing with. I mean, you see everybody smiling, and here's the Muslim man and his three wives or four wives, and everyone's smiling, and the big happy family. And these are human beings. I obviously, I'm not interviewing women who are involved in polygamous households, but, you know, someone was talking about polyamory, where you've got these multiple unions, but it's not legal, but it can be two men and three women. It can be one woman and three men. I mean, it can be any combination. According to Newsweek, there's as many as 500,000 such homes like this in America. I document that. I talk about that, and a queer thing happened to America. And someone said, yeah, I've never seen like an anniversary or a 10th anniversary for a polyamorous family. In other words, yeah, let's see how stable and long-term. But that's another issue. What does Scripture say? I'm going to open this up a bit more. I want to get to some of your calls, then I'll lay out my thinking on this. 866-34-TRUTH. Krista in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
I have 3 points why it contradicts Scripture.
Okay.
Why polygamy contradicts Scripture. Number one is in the beginning, in Genesis 2, God created woman out of man. He created woman out of man's flesh. It was two people, and when man and woman were married, they become one flesh. So that's one point.
Right, and it's a very big point.
Yes, and the second point is that Paul spoke about marriage is between one man and one woman, but lots of people like to argue because later on in Scripture it discusses, you know, how to govern other types of marriages. But that's because the Hebrews adapted lots of the traditions of their pagan contemporaries. So God had to give rules to govern the Hebrews, even in their sinful state. The same way lots of people like to use where God was giving the Hebrews a way to govern slavery, how slaves and masters should treat each other and respect each other as a way of condoning slavery, but that's not the case. It was God sort of governing their ways, the ways that
yeah,
they
you chose. Yeah, you could say accommodating certain things. And by the way, I wouldn't say that Paul talked about how to manage polygamous households, but I'll come back to that the other side of the break. But yet, was there a third point you were going to make, or was that it?
Oh, that was it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for calling in, Krista. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to get to a couple more calls and then lay out my thinking based on Scripture why polygamy is wrong. We will return.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. As we talk about polygamy, I encourage you to listen to the entire 2 hours of broadcast and go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Later today, we'll have both hours archived online. You can listen to them free. You can subscribe by podcast. And if you're blessed by the programs, hey, help us out to reach more and more people. You can click right on our website, AskDrBrown.org, to help with a gift or become a monthly torchbearer. According to the Bible, why is polygamy wrong? Steve in Camden, New Jersey, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Good. Listen, I really enjoy your program. I started listening to it about a couple of months ago, but I'm going to try to be real quick. I disagree with polygamy according to the Scripture, and you actually touched on it. Secularly speaking, when you said, how would a man feel if he had a wife who had another husband or two?
Yeah,
now that thought was on my mind. You could reverse it. And think
Yeah. My male friends listening, my husbands listening, how about that? That your wife is allowed to have two or three husbands, and she sleeps with one night, and with you another night, and maybe has a date night with one night, and with you another night.
So, I mean, that was like throwing that back at them. But and the young lady said it, wherever she was calling from, Atlanta or wherever, but she said, according to the Scripture, God made man, and he made woman from man's rib. You know, so he made one. And there might have been extenuating circumstances in the Scripture which allowed a man to have more than one wife. But Jesus came and said, one wife for one husband. I don't want to misquote it, so I'm just saying, generally speaking, I disagree, not generally, I specifically disagree with polygamy. I think it's wrong according to what I have read in the Scripture.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Where it was allowed were just extenuating circumstances. But
Steve, thanks for turning the analogy around for us there to hit it home with the husband's listening. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Let me grab another call or two really quickly. Larry in Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hi. I was calling. I'm probably not going to put this into good words, but the reason I think polygamy is wrong is because marriage is meant to be a symbolic parable of sorts for God's relationship to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it would appear that he's not going to, I guess, marry all the different religions. He's pick the true bride, and he's going to be with that one bride.
Yeah, and Messiah and his body, Christ and his church. That's what marriage speaks of as a metaphor. Absolutely. Not multiple wives, multiple brides.
Right. That's where I see it as being wrong, because it's not what he does. We're supposed to do what he does. You know?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with you on
Thank
that.
You,
and
Brown.
just think of that. If God had multiple brides, who would those brides be? Would it be the different religions? I mean, it's a well-put point. Larry, thank you for weighing in, and thanks for the good words. 866-34-TRUTH. Last call, Mike in Winston-Salem. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Hope you're doing well today.
Yeah, real well. Thanks.
Good. I just wanted to kind of weigh in. I think, you know, according to the Bible, polygamy is wrong. In the Old Testament, there were women. There were a few instances where people had multiple wives. However, I saw an article on CNN, and it said that more people who were married now are becoming swingers. So, you know, they may not be married to two or three different people, but they're living the same way. They're going out and sleeping around with different people. And a lot of people who are married go ahead and commit adultery anyways. So I guess for me, you know, I had a friend of mine one time. He told me, he says, Mike, that it's really not natural for one woman and one man to be together. Men want to have multiple partners.
Yeah, we could say that by nature, all men are polyamorous. By nature, all men are lusting after other women or desiring to sleep with other women, even if they're married. So even if that was the case, then you have to subdue that. You have to say no to the flesh. You know, it's almost like saying, well, we have all this adultery, might as well have polygamy. It's like, yeah, the guy's got cancer, might as well shoot him in the leg. So, yeah. But anyway, hey, look, I got to run and open up the scriptures here myself. But thanks for calling in. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, I'm just wired that way, right? This way I'm wired. You know, there's some scientists talking about what they call GSA, genetic sexual attraction, that people genetically may be attracted to their own family members. Okay, biblically, let me lay this out for you. We start at creation, Genesis 2, the ideal, man and woman, not Adam with multiple wives, then the two becoming one. Jesus reiterates that in Matthew 19 and says this is the way it was at the beginning, that the only reason divorce was given was as a concession because of the hardness of heart. But it was never God's ideal. The ideal is a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, the two become one flesh. And then Jesus reiterates it, so they are no longer two but one. He emphasizes two again. The two become one. When you get further into the New Testament, the leaders are called to set examples. The leaders are called to set examples. Paul mentions different apostles having a wife, not wives. And then he says in 1 Timothy 3 that elders must be the husband of one wife. And the believers are taught, follow the example of your leaders. Watch their lives. Learn from them. And we are to model ourselves as leaders for others to follow. Ephesians 5, the whole concept, and whenever Paul is giving teaching, it's not husbands love your wives, plural. But each husband is to love his wife as Christ loves the church. That's a picture of that union. And when polygamy is mentioned in any detail, every single time it's mentioned in any detail in the Bible, there's bad fruit with it. You say, yeah, there are certain laws. Look, there were laws to stone disobedient, rebellious children. There were certain things that God instituted for periods of time or allowed for periods of time because of the culture, because of the necessity even of reproduction and things, and in culture where childbearing was often very difficult and infertility rampant or people dying in childbearing and so on. But it was never his ideal. And we learn from Scripture, think of this. Every single example that is spelled out in any detail where a man has multiple wives or wives and concubines, where it's spelled out in any detail, where you can read more about the story, every single time it's negative. And then the ideal, one husband, one wife, the way it was at creation, the way Jesus reiterates it, the way Paul says it must be for leaders, and leaders then set those examples. Of course it's God's ideal. Of course it's best. And of course, to advocate to see polygamy today is to go against God's best, plain and simple. All right, if you still don't have a copy of A Queer Thing That Happened to America or want to get a copy for a friend, we've got a great deal today. My book, almost 700 pages with 1,500 endnotes, which will blow your mind on all the key issues with gay activism. If you're not a big reader, you pull out any chapter of interest, it'll open your eyes. That book plus my two-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox on DVD. It's about $45 with postage. Normally today you can get both for just $25. We'll pay the postage and I'll sign the book. If you want me to sign it to someone else, just tell us when you place the order. But you got to call today to do this. The number is 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. This is not listed online, so you need to call 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, the scriptures lay out God's ideal. Let's not make excuses. Let's go to his standard. Let's seek to live up to his standard. Let's seek to understand and explore the beauty of marriage as he ordained it and show the world the image of Jesus and his bride.